We were going to tell you a story, but we're not concise enough to fit it in 30 seconds.
What we can tell you is that one time I saw a sand shark.
And one time I tried to flirt with my dentist using finger guns.
One time I had to tape my pants during a job interview.
And I've been known to pee on my pants, not in my pants. You can hear all this chaos and more on
I'm Like Really Funny.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, bye!
Talk to your brain cells, don't forget to take your pills, roller coaster, take to you, holy shit, atomic dome! Your spots on the tone will make you look less dull with everything like loose. Welcome to Cell Toast, I hate you!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
go!
All right, cool. That works. I liked that clap. That was a very, I used to have friends who were black, and they really liked Sonic the Hedgehog. So
I still
see
those people at work all the time.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
That was a very, my black friends who like Sonic the Hedgehog kind of clap.
I can dig it. It's also, those people align with the same ones that like Naruto also.
The ones who are now 27 fucking years old and still choose to Naruto run and like... Yep. I don't know. They'll like peace sign when they say hi.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like a specific breed of black guy.
And they wear like arm sleeves with like muscle shirts.
Yeah. You know, that's like one type. Those are the, I know that sounds weirder. Those are the more like gangster ghetto dudes who have like the weird like tattoo covers.
No. I mean like actual cloth sleeves. I've seen that shit.
What?
Yeah, bro. I kid you not. They're like emo sleeves, but for some reason they don't connect to the shirt. It's crazy. They stop like mid bicep, and then it just goes to tank top.
That's what Sasuke Uchiha did.
Yeah,
the guy from Naruto. He wore sleeves like that. So I think it's more like I wish I was Japanese and in a cartoon thing happening there. I don't know. It's really weird, like the like connectivity between black dudes I went to high school with and Japanese animation. Yeah. Like it's just
there's a very weird, interesting like, overlap there.
It's not even a Venn diagram, it's just a circle. They're the same guys.
Just overlapping circles.
Yeah. All right. So you're hosting. That's why I gave you the notes.
Oh shit. Well, motherfucker. Welcome back to this fantascular what's up. You're like, bitch, you're trying to take my shit.
You can do it, but you have to do it the way that I do it.
No, just do it.
You can go. You just got to tell me when you're going. I at least warn you guys when
have
I'm going to start.
Go do your thing. Take your shoes off. Get ready. Put your feet up on the bed. Gross. Yes, of course. Of course, my horse.
Okay. I got a lot of control over my face muscles.
I don't like what just happened.
Here we go. What up, bitches? Welcome back to Sometimes I Hate You, your favorite comedy variety podcast that comes around once a week, every week, all week. I'm Andy. Podcast. Murder fucking podcasts. I'm Andy, and that motherfucker right there is Victor.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
And you're listening to Sometimes I Hate You. That was back when superhero movies didn't have a Deadpool who could talk, but they chose to have the Juggernaut be a sassy, big Russian man.
I love
in
that
a body
guy.
Suit. I don't know why they didn't just get a bigger bodybuilder instead of putting a guy in a bodysuit. That always confused the living shit out of me.
Well, I loved
when
we went to go see Deadpool 2 in movie theaters, they had CG Juggernaut, and that was great.
Yeah, that was really weird, but what was even stranger is that I saw Deadpool 2 in movie theaters, and I'm not a fan of Deadpool. I saw 2 in theaters. No less than 5 times.
I remember that. You kept telling me every new time that it got added to that. And I was like, bro, I'm so sorry.
Because people kept regularly inviting me to go see the fucking the movie. And then other people would invite me and be like, I hope you didn't see it already. And I'm like, shit. All right. I guess I didn't. All right.
Nope, I never saw it. I totally didn't see that part where Deadpool gets torn in half and Tyrese.
What are you talking about?
Tyrese. What the fuck?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I don't know.
Remember
when
we saw that part when Brad Pitt was the invisible guy? That shit was crazy. You don't remember that? Yeah. Remember when he built X-Force and then like the whole team died as soon as they jumped out the fucking airplane and Shatterstar got turned into like green goo and the invisible guy slammed into an electrical wire? That shit was Brad Pitt.
I feel like I remember that being Brad Pitt, but I feel like you're influencing my memory. So right now, I'm going to go with I don't know, but I don't want to go look it up either. So we'll go with yes.
We'll leave it at that. We are gathered here on this glorious day of occasions to talk about friendships and things because this motherfucker and I have known each other for way too long. At some point, we're going to have to take each other's kneecaps. But
I'd like to see you try. I was talking to Kyle the other day. I was talking to Kyle the other day, and I think I'm a real sprightly, like weasel, like fighter.
Oh,
you and I had to hurt each other, I think I would immediately start biting and kicking at your joints and soft tissue.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what you do. You'd be like a rabid street dog.
Well, I thought about it recently, and I was, because, like, I told Kyle, this happened really recently. I came to the moral decision that whenever in the future, doesn't matter when or how, even if it's at a heavy metal festival, if and or when I see a neo-Nazi, like a dude with swastika tattoos and stuff, from now on permanently, I will go and give him shit about it immediately. Like, I will not resist the urge to talk shit and tell him he should not be here.
I can appreciate that.
Mainly because you're a piece of shit by default, and the obligation of society is to go tell you to go away. Because, like, I know it sounds weird. I saw this YouTube video of a bunch of Irish guys who were, like, outside of a bar, and there were these fucking neo-Nazis passing out, like, neo-Nazi propaganda paperwork and stuff.
The fuck?
And, like, a group of dudes and his buddies were like, these fucking dudes are fucking fascists. Come on, mate, let's go get them. And so he just grabs his buddy. Yeah, he just grabs his buddy and they walk over to this table and just take the paperwork straight out of the neo-Nazis' hands, tear it up and throw it at them. And then they're sitting at a table, like one of those plastic outside tables, and they just crack it in half and push
Holy
it down
shit.
And say, get the fuck out of here. Like, you shouldn't be here. Go the fuck out of here. And then they started saying the lyrics to that fucking awesome punk song. So they literally just say, fuck off, Nazi punks. But they all start chanting it. So there's like a street full of Irish dudes with Irish accents saying, fuck off, Nazi punks. And I was like, I think I have a responsibility now. I can't let the Irish one-up me.
You're like going to become Batman, but just against neo-Nazis.
Yeah, just against neo-Nazis. But yeah, I've decided that, like, from this point forward, if I interact with neo-Nazis, any variety, if you've got fucking hate speech tattoos, and like they're usually at punk, like metal shows and shit like that, so I see them all the time, but most people don't say anything to them. And so now I've decided it's my responsibility to say something
to them.
You need
to start establishing how unwelcome they are to that environment.
Yes.
I can dig it.
Because I think a lot of people are too accepting to it. So I was like, you know what? If I get punched or into a few extra fights, it's okay. It was for a righteous cause to tell Nazis to go away.
Well, didn't you say that, like, the one show you went to, like, a fight broke out against the Nazis and, like, the whole show turned on them?
Yeah, so I was telling Kyle about this also. There's this group of like prison Nazis called Peckerwoods, and they're like, I try to not use this phrase, like, it doesn't make sense to use this phrase, because, like, no, white people are not trash, but there's a phrase for certain people that is white trash.
Okay,
these dudes are like, they are that phrase. They are like broke white dudes who've been to prison and usually are racist assholes, and they call themselves Peckerwoods, and it comes from like old, like Jim Crow era, like the slaves and people, not the slaves, God, not Jim Crow era either. It was during the civil rights movement, but like black people would start yelling at broke white people who were assholes to them and call them woodpeckers, and it got flipped, and they ended up being called Peckerwoods and, like, owning the phrase.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's really weird.
Okay.
But the whole point of it is a bunch of Peckerwood dudes with tattoos and stuff started, like, hitting people in the mosh pits. And yeah, mosh pits get violent or whatever, but like no one hits to hurt or you know, hits
That's
to maim
That's not supposed
each
to be
other.
Intentional. Yeah.
No, no, there's no like intentional violence. And if somebody does start a fight, we eject the dudes. Like we do it ourselves. And so these guys started hurting brown people in the pit. And so all the non-racist white dudes who were at the show were like, fuck that shit. So we started like this like straight up big ass brawl at a music festival against these fucking Nazis who started Sieg Heiling and shit.
Oh, fuck
and
that.
Fucking goose stepping. Yeah, so we were like, you know, fuck these pieces of shit. I had a fucking backpack full of, not a backpack, I had a satchel full of Rockstar energy drinks and just started whipping that shit around and fucking like pitching Rockstars at people. And I got in one direct fight with a Nazi. So that's like, it's just it's a moral obligation.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I feel like it stemmed from that day. From there, you're
yeah,
just like,
it's kind of that day.
The metal shows need me. I'm not the hero they want. I'm the hero they deserve.
But I'm the hero they need. I'm gonna be the metal Batman who just is mean to Nazis. Cause like, what the fuck's gonna happen? You're in trouble for what? Beating up Nazis. Oh, okay. You can go home.
Yeah,
dude.
Exactly. That guy's a Nazi. It's like, all right, cool. You're good. You stabbed him five times. It's okay.
So yeah, that's the approach I want to take. But sorry, how did we even get here? What was the note, Victor?
All right, my bad. We drifted. Friendships come and go. How has it been for you and I? How do you keep from How do you keep from pissing each other off? Most annoying and proudest moments of our friendship, man.
So
that's deep. That's such a deep cut. Yeah. So early.
I think it was just good and important right out the gate because so Victor and I have known each other since fall of 2014.
Now.
We've known each other a long fucking time. That makes about 6 years now. And we've been friends for pretty much the duration. It took a couple months to actually warm up to each other. But we've known each other and hung out in, like, the same circles for a minute now. And I was thinking about it.
Those circles became our own circle that we made at some point.
Yeah, it's great. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, damn. Like, I've known this dude longer than I've had any, like, high school or previous best friends. And that's mostly because I know it sounds weird, but like I go through falling outs with best friends usually. And from what I understand, everybody else seems to. But you and I went through an entire like career together. And I know I pissed you off at work. I know I definitely pissed you off at work.
But what was good about our friendship is we'd separate that shit. So like, say for instance, you pissed me off multiple times at work.
Yeah.
There's more than a handful of those. But then like, after work, once like no one's getting paid or anything, we're like, what's up, bro? And it just back like, to the routine.
Well, what's even funnier is like when Sometimes I Hate You started three fucking years ago, like the duration of the show, Victor for two of those years was my superior at work. Like he was my superior the entire time, but we actually started as the same thing and then he just digivolved faster. So we learned that it was important. It kind of like when you date somebody who's above or below you at work, like you just have to separate that shit entirely.
Just two different worlds.
And it seems like we learned to do that. Cause I remember being in trouble at work, but being totally fine with you. Like when we were hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, dude,
keeping that shit totally
separate.
There was
like moments where like we would have beef over work situations. And then we would both be like closing together or something. So we'd leave work together. And the moment we were gone, we were just like, yo, you want to go play Magic or something? Yeah, it was so dumb.
So I think that's been like definitely a like contributing factor. Cause like, I think I've only had like one issue. Like you and I have only fought about like one thing and it's fine. I'm going to air some dirty laundry on the podcast. You and I had beef with you because oftentimes until this girlfriend, you oftentimes like change significantly when you date somebody, like your life revolves around that person and it makes it hard to spend time with you.
Yeah.
So I legit called you up when I was at work one day and I was like, hey, yo, we got to settle some shit right now. I just wanted to tell
you like a rap battle or some shit.
Yeah, I was like, you ain't been in my life lately, bro. And you were like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't even notice that. Like, I didn't mean to do that. And then we were good.
Yeah,
so
I was like, my bad, bro.
One beef. And it was because I wanted to hang out with you more.
Yeah, I don't see my best friend. I'm just like, bro, I didn't even mean to hurt you like that.
So I think that's like definitely a good thing is any fights we've got into have either, I don't remember them.
Dude, I honestly don't.
They didn't matter at all.
Or they weren't important.
I can't.
The only big ones that I really... like would even bother like any of us were work ones, and like we said, like those were work related, and that was it. And then anything past that, it didn't matter anymore. That was
no
pretty
exactly.
Much it.
Also, well, I know I think, I've definitely. What's up?
I was just saying, like I know definitely, like when it comes to our friendship, it's more like it doesn't have to be bro all the time. Like you and I have shared pretty like I guess like intimate information with each other about our personal lives and shit. And like,
oh, a lot more than share. We've been not literally, because it wasn't we weren't in the same physical space, but we've cried on the phone at each other.
Yeah,
before.
That's true, bro. Because we've experienced some fucked shit in parallel with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's another really strong thing is being able to go to your like heterosexual life mate forever and just be like, yo, bro. I got some stuff I need to talk about, and I got to talk to you about it.
I think that's been like a definitely like a positive thing. I know it sounds weird. Like, I guess this is more like positive masculinity hour, yeah. But like this is, I think a lot
it's
more
not
dudes,
gay, bro.
Like, no, it's not like it seems gay. It looks gay. It even feels a little gay, but it's not gay. Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. We haven't actually touched tips yet to find out.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's We've fine. Both touched each other's junk, but only through the clothes, and that makes it not gay.
Yeah,
probably,
exactly.
Right?
I think that's how that works.
Maybe.
As long as it's clothes, it's not gay.
But also, I don't know, like a few things that I was like thinking about was just like, I've gotten in some stupid ass fights. Like I stopped being best friends with this dude in high school because I wanted to go spend the last day of 11th grade hanging out with my girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
Because it meant that I got to go have sex.
I can dig
and he
it.
Stopped being my friend the next year. Like just
so
talking
he got
to me,
mad at you because
out.
Of that.
Yeah, he got mad at me. He was like, what the fuck, dude? You're always with her. And I was like, she has pussy. You did
hey,
not.
Fuck you. See, you used to do
I'm
the same
do that.
Shit that I did also then.
What? Wait, you also did the same shit?
Yeah, that's what was happening with us. Because you're just like, I never see Victor anymore.
Oh, no. That was different. That was also when I was a teenager. When I thought pussy was the most important thing.
Yeah, I know.
And it made me flunk out of high school. Sorry, out of college and high school.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's bad.
There's a difference
yeah,
there,
a
sir.
There's a big difference there.
Yeah, there's a bit of a difference. I think a better comparison would be, there was that one night that you came to see my band play at the Brick by Brick. And after I got off stage, you were like, great job, bro. You gave me a hug. And then you were like, I gotta go. And I was like, where are you going? And you were like, I gotta go get a blowjob, bro. I'll see you later.
I'm out.
So, yeah. So like, I think that would be a good example of like how to properly handle that situation. Cause you were like, I'm going to be supportive of my friend. And then I'm going to go get a blowjob.
I can respect that. Yeah, man. Good on past me.
Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, dude, you got like mad bro points for that, because I was like, he actually made it to a show.
My man.
And got a blowjob.
Whoa.
So yeah, so I was proud of you that day. And so, like, that's a perfect example. Is like I said, I had a buddy who was just like, I wanted to go spend time with my girlfriend, and he was like, we're not buddies anymore. So
that's kind of lame.
That was a rough one.
Yeah.
Friendship breakups are annoying.
I'm trying to think. Like, the biggest one that I, like, well, I mean, not biggest, because, like, my long-term best friend before, like, we started interacting with each other was from third grade. And, like, we went all the way through high school and everything, and we were still best friends. But then, like, once high school hit, we kind of started drifting in our different directions. And then,
yeah,
like, we just didn't mesh anymore. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if I still catch up with that dude right now, like, we can just start joking like normal friends and all that and make each other chuckle fuck. But, like, there's definitely that weird level of just like strangeness there now, where it's just like, yo, you and I aren't on the same like world anymore, so
no,
we can't do this, dude.
No, I tried to do that like also like with that same buddy after high school.
Yeah.
It was like when I went to it was like 2 years after high school, because I started going to college, and I started playing games on PC, and he was like, oh, I have a copy of Diablo 2. Do you want to borrow that? And I was like,
all right,
sure. I'll borrow your Diablo 2 for my my PC. And he like we hung out one day after I got off of work, because I just ran into him in the city at some point. Yeah. And we just hung out that day. And then he gave me a copy of fucking Diablo. And then 6 months later, stopped by like when I worked at the nerd store with you. He stopped by and he was like, hey, how's it been? Do you still have my Diablo 2? And I was like, dude, what? Like, we're friends on Facebook. Like, why couldn't I haven't you seen just you message in forever. Me or
something? Yeah.
Yeah. And he literally stopped by and was like, dude, do you have my Diablo 2? And I was like, maybe?
I gotta look, bro. I don't know. It's been like 6 years or some shit.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? So that's like the last. We were on just entirely different wavelengths. But to be honest, I think like big contributing factors are like you and I are not in the same music, but we like some of the same music together. Whereas
they overlap.
Like my buddy in high school, because it's this dude named fucking Jovan. And I knew him from sixth grade through senior year, and then just completely disassociated with that dude.
Yeah.
And after that, like I said, I wasn't friends with anybody for a long time. And yeah, he had long hair and didn't like metal and liked skateboarding. And I was like,
nah, bro, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. I was like, nah, dude, we're good. We're good. You go somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else. We're good. We'll go somewhere else together.
Just not looking at each other anymore. Fuck that shit, bro. Yeah.
If you remember my last name, cool. Good job. good on you.
Cause like I had another friend, the reason like him and I really stopped dealing with each other, cause he would come up with like these really extravagant things about his life that everyone knew wasn't true, but like he would do it compulsively. And I guess just to try and fit in or whatever the reason was. And I literally confronted him about it one time, and I was like, dude, we're like good best friends, bro. I was like, you don't have to do this. Like, we're good, bro.
And I'm good hanging out with you. Yeah,
I don't need to hear this story about how your uncle gave you a Desert Eagle and you got this and all that. And he was just like, no, but it's true. I'm like, bro. And then I would say something to catch him up in it. And then he'd be like, he'd get quiet. So I'd call him out. I'm like, we're good. But the thing is, like, even after that, he never stopped. So it just turned into one of those things.
That's like a literal second grade friendship. Like,
yeah,
that's what friends do in second grade. I told you about that kid who told me he had real lightsabers and shit.
Yeah,
that's what that kid did. If you do that as an 18-year-old boy,
dude, like, it's just wrong. So I was just like, I can't keep pretending like I care anymore, because I'm just like, this just doesn't work for my brain, dude. So I just drifted off from there. I was like, all right, whatever, I'm done with this.
No, I think that's good. I think it's good. Like, weirdly enough, friendships are like relationships, like actual romantic relationships. The amount of energy you put in is the amount of energy you get back.
Yeah.
And what I've definitely learned over the years is, like, be honest and, like, be 100% like completely you, and you'll be fine. Because, like, I've been in those relationships and friendships where I'm like, I'm the cool guy. And I was like, this is not working.
That's not how that works.
I know that I'm not the cool guy. I think I'm cool. I think I'm great. But I'm not the cool guy at all. And I never have been. But I would behave as such. And what's worse is I ended up coming off as, so there's this particular type of person that I met when I was younger. And I continued to see this type of person pop up through my entire life. And it is people who pick rogue in RPGs.
Yep.
Like, yeah. There's a type of person who always
there's
picks rogue in RPGs. They love
human
the,
being.
And exactly. And so that person always, 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 they're somehow always the skinny, like real life skinny person who wants to be like this strong, physically fast and cool guy. They'll wear like all black, or they'll wear like everything that's doped in their lifestyle set or whatever.
Yeah, but it doesn't translate right.
Exactly. And they'll talk like they've done all of this or done all of that, and like they know things. But anytime you delve deeper, just slightly deeper into anything that they say they know really well, it just you're just like, wait, I've read this book and you were a fucking lie. Yeah,
it's just so like, oh, the train tracks have ended.
It's so weird. Like, it's just, I've had several of these friends or several people I've known, and these are always like people that I just immediately avoid. Yeah. And I don't know why I associate them with this, but I've always just immediately been like, you are an RPG rogue. I don't care about
well,
you.
It was
I don't
like,
want to talk to you.
When we were working together, we had someone that we dealt with together like that, remember? And then like
Shane.
No.
Not Shane.
But there is some
okay, Shane's not a rogue, but Shane is very close to what an RPG rogue
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we're talking
yeah, we're
about
the same
type of person.
But like okay. At the same time, like this person would try and act all cool and everything, and then they just, you know, they weren't. So that's kind of what the situation was.
Now I'm trying to figure out who the fuck you talking about.
We'll talk
just
about it off
letter.
Air.
Say the first letter.
It's an S. We're leaving it at that. You can't drop names.
All right, cool. Yeah, I forgot about Sorbet Johnson yeah. who worked with us.
Good old Sorbet. But yeah, I think personally that's what's kept us around each other for so long. And also sharing pizza. You gotta share a pie yeah. with your best friend every so often. It's important.
I cheated on you yesterday, Victor.
Dude. Man, I remember the first day you were like, yo. And I was like, what's up? You're like, I went to Philippi's without you.
No. What's even worse is it wasn't me who did it first. It was you, you motherfucker. It wasn't me who did it first. Because I turned you on to Philippi's, and then all of a sudden you were like, hey, yo, Andy, I cheated on you. And I was like, you motherfucker.
Nah, but then your bitch ass is like, it's okay. Because I went to Philippi's and Cold yep. Stone without you. I was like, oh, shit. Motherfucker. It's like you came over here, told me I wasn't the father, and that we never even had sex.
Oh, man, dude, actually on that topic, just real quick, I've been watching the Lovecraft Country
yeah.
and dude, this last episode of the series, like everybody was like, oh, episode 5 was great, this last episode was awesome because this dude found out his dad was gay, and then he didn't just find out his dad was gay, he found out his uncle fucked his mom, so he might not be the gay dude's son at all.
Oh,
he might be his
God.
Uncle's son. And I was like, boom.
There you go.
You're
motherfucker.
Not just gay. You didn't even fuck my mom. God
what
damn.
The fuck? This is a lie.
It's a bad day.
That's
so
crazy.
Sorry, you just made me think of that.
I can dig it. But yeah, that's like you gotta share pie and be kinda, you know, open with each other. That's what it comes
oh,
down
yeah.
to.
I think that's an important thing just for future friendship. I guess I'll leave you with this last thought is, if you are friends with someone, be able to like talk openly about emotions and relationships and stuff like that. Like emotionally open, but don't like bitch about relationships. Because that was actually a mistake that I had early on with Victor, and he fucking put me in my place real quick.
I checked that shit so quick.
Yeah, there. I've told this story a few times. Victor and I used to hang out with. Oh, I remember
yep,
who S uh-huh. is now. Yeah. We were hanging out with him at the Balboa Park, and I had my phone on, and I was super, super focused on OkCupid and Tinder, and Victor was like, yo, and I was like, what's up? And he was like, they here right now? And I was like, nah, they're not. And you were like, all right, then put your shit away. And I was like, okay. Dude. And from then on, like, that was it. That just cemented it right there.
Because it was us, and we had Taco Bell, motherfucker. You were overlooking
yep,
motherfucking Taco Bell for that shit.
I remember. Yep.
I was like, bitch, I'm going to throw your goddamn phone at a kangaroo. Let that shit
Dude.
Hop away with it.
I remember that, and I would say that was like a defining moment, mostly because you at that point in time were better friends with that fucking guy than you were friends with me, and I was like, I will not have this. I remember that.
Yeah, that was like around one of those moments where like we truly solidified with each other right there.
Yeah, you nailed it. What's the next note?
So we're going on to things when we were from back in the day when we were younger us. So what would you tell younger you when it comes to the podcast? Would you redo anything or do it bigger and better? What is it? Parentheses, we at Pizza versus Donuts to celebrate our first year. You know, I still love that 1 year celebration to this very day. That was so extravagant.
I think about it regularly, and it was so fucking dumb. And so, like Victor mentioned, Sometimes I Hate You was born on eating pizza, staying up late, and being emotionally open with your best friend. Yep. That's what Sometimes I Hate You is. And so to celebrate the 1 year anniversary or birthday of Sometimes I Hate You, Victor and I, without any editing whatsoever, recorded an entire episode or like something. Like it was long. It was like 35 to 40 minutes of me eating a whole pizza.
And then me attempting to eat a dozen of donuts.
And it was a baker's dozen, so it was 14 fucking donuts.
It was so bad. And then we were just like, it's good, because this is what friendship's made of. And then we recorded an episode after that, and we felt like
I remember
trash.
There was lots of burps and lots of groans. Just gas and groans. Yes. It was very gross time, and the only thing I could think of, like, or not the only thing, but I wish we'd celebrated every year our year anniversaries with more and more extravagant things. I remember I was friends with this chick named Glenda for a while, and she was trying to also convince you to drink a gallon of milk with me in a parking lot to celebrate.
Yeah, I'm still not doing that.
Because this was before like Kyle started rolling deep with us. So I was just mad depressed hanging out with this one mad depressed chick all the goddamn time. And I was like, what if we just fill our bodies with a ton of milk? And Victor, you were like busy. And this was, I think, the first year of me not working with you. So we just didn't see each other often. Yeah. So I was just like, I want to celebrate by drinking way too much milk.
Yeah, and what's even worse is I'm lactose intolerant, so even if I would have attempted this, I'd like shit my brains out while we're like throwing milk at each other in a parking lot. I'm like, dude, hold on.
I think it would have been really great. Like, I regret not having done that last year, and I really wish, because all I was going to do is hand the camera to her and be like, oh, okay, well, this is essentially Jackass, where we drink a gallon of milk.
My name's Victor. On YouTube. That's Andy, and this is Sometimes I Hate You. Glug, glug, glug.
And just like, have you seen? There's this really. I'm not usually a person who brings up memes, but there's this meme of an anime character, and he's trying to swim through a pool, and he's like running and swimming and drowning, and like he cannot swim worth a goddamn, and he's just fucking spewing
flowing
water and
gasping
and everything. And then somebody like walks next to him and is like standing, and the water turns out to be at waist height, so he just stands up and he goes, oh
we're good.
Oh.
All right, cool.
And so it just kind of makes me think of that, like, you and I would be chugging milk and people would just be walking by and we'd be like, oh god, it's so difficult. And people would be like, what the fuck are they
what
doing?
What's wrong with them?
And then when it's over, we'd just be like, oh, that was maybe a bad idea.
I gotta go throw up now.
I had a lot of goals for the show. So like, I think if I was gonna go and do anything like over again, it would have been to hit video projects so much harder.
Yeah.
For when we could hang out and stuff, that would have been my thing, is hit video projects a lot harder. And for the love of God, if you listen to this, Pat, in the past future, Andy, when there's time machines or something, listen to Jesse. It's very important that you listen to Jesse and go spend some time learning how to compress audio, because you dumb piece of shit, it took you 3 years.
Dude, that's like the biggest thing I would say is like, the things I do wish could have been different was like our first few seasons, because honestly, like, I still love those seasons the most just because of the raw fucking stupidity that came out during that time, because depressed. We were tired
and single.
Single and cracked up on Monster and gummy stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's the good old days. I think I'd just become a vegetarian like when the first season started.
Yeah.
So.
And
yeah,
like, dude,
it
would be like 10 o'clock at night and we'd be like recording on your fucking iPad in like 20 minute intervals and shit. And we're like, we're going to make this work. And like, if there's like one thing I really could take back, it's the first episode. Cause I just, I choked so hard, and like I live with much regret from that episode.
Hello, it's me, Victor Clavicle. Welcome to Sometimes I Hate You.
Yeah,
dude, I listened to that episode so many times, and I'm like, this motherfucker just like right from the fucking jump, you sucked.
And like,
it took you like 4 episodes for it to get awesome.
And now we're here. And I love it, but that's where I wish I could have had that same energy I have now back then when we first did this. Because, man,
I fully agree with that.
Yeah, not even like necessarily like the same equipment we have, but just better equipment where things started sounding better.
Oh, yeah. Like if I would have just listened, like that's the thing. You dumb motherfucker, Andy. Listen to Jesse. He was right the whole time. But you were like, no, I'm just going to throw it myself. And
I'll learn it. It's
okay. It's
fine.
I won't learn how to do nothing. It's fine. And then fucking Jesse's like, dude, I will show you I know how to do this. Because for those of you guys listening, I am in a band. We don't make music because COVID happened and we all live all over the country. But I am in a band and they are called Finding Thetis. And Jesse is the drummer in Finding Thetis, and he has been the most, like, just invaluable tool in teaching me how to record, mix, and, like, edit and all that when it comes to audio production. So, just, Sometimes I Hate You would weirdly just not exist if I wasn't in a band with Jesse.
No, it would, but it would still be recorded on your iPad at 20-minute intervals.
Oh, no, it would have been much worse, because I was telling Kyle, there was this time in middle school that I was broke, like very broke, and so my grandpa tried to sue a company that he'd got workers' comp through in like 2001, and this is, I was in middle school in like 2007, right? So like 7 years later, my grandparents moved to California. And they bring with them a box, and in this box is a cassette voice recorder.
Oh.
So this cassette voice recorder also had a 1.5 millimeter jack for plugging in a microphone, and you could record audio with it. It was literally like the kind of wire that you see in fucking crime drama movies. So I took it from them with like 2 cassettes.
Oh, you're going to get far with that.
And they're these tiny little cassettes. So I took it from them with these like 2 cassettes, and I went home and I turned on a CD copy of My Chemical Romance, 3 Tears for Sweet Revenge, that I got from a girl that I don't have a crush on to this day, but I had a crush on for a good 6 years, even after I stopped knowing her. Because I met a girl, her name is Celeste, in sixth grade. And she showed me My Chemical Romance. It's her fault I am this way. She showed me My Chemical Romance and gave me her brand new copy of 3 Cheers for Sweet Revenge that she got. And I was like, wow, I love this woman. I will love her for the rest of my life. And so instead, I love My Chemical Romance and I forgot what she looks like. So that's fine.
All right, cool.
But so I played this CD and pressed this voice recorder to the headphone on like those cheap plastic headphones that go over your head and sit on top of your ears.
Yeah.
I pressed the CD, like I played the audio, and then I took this to school with me.
Oh.
The voice recorder playing tape recordings of only left audio from a CD.
Man.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what the show would be now if no one ever taught you.
So yes, Victor. Had Jesse not showed me what sometimes like what I could do, it would be
a one track of just you speaking, because you never figured out how to put mine in there. So there'd just be these weird gaps and you're just like, it's fine, dude.
I'd never listen back to them. I would just upload them directly to fucking YouTube.
No, it wouldn't even be that, bitch. You would fucking copy cassette tapes and leave them in people's mailboxes. They'd be like, listen to my show.
To this day, what's worse is they wouldn't be even cassettes. They would be those little tiny like chiclet cassettes that go in voice recorders, and everybody would be like,
what do I do?
I don't even
this?
Know what to put this in.
Is this a bomb?
Somebody's fucking with me, right? I don't know what's going on. So yeah, that would be my thing is tell me to learn how to use equipment earlier.
I can
better,
dig that.
Harder.
I also think I would have told younger me to get a fucking laptop way earlier, because that would have made life way easier.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, yeah. I'm going to the other thing, too. Like, what would you have told way younger you? Like, say, for instance, you're, like, in middle school, and then, like, you fucking... I gotta go back and go talk to younger
I'm
you.
I gotta go back.
You go back to younger you. And you just say, listen to you, little shit. And you're just like, hi. Like, what would you tell yourself about the show to, like, prep for what you're going to experience?
Dude, honestly, my absolute inability to deal with emotions or interact with people is what led me to sometimes I hate you, because instead of paying for a therapist, I can just talk to you about my problems and
then
disguise
air it on the
them
internet.
In jokes. Yes. And air it on the internet. So, like, the key is make sure you never go to therapy or guidance counseling whatsoever. Continue to date your super evil ex-girlfriend. And don't you dare break up, because a lot of that depression is going to lead you right into Victor's lap. So that's you need that there. But the only thing I can really, really suggest is work on reading comprehension. That would be the most important part, you dumb motherfucker, is get above a fourth grade reading level in seventh grade, because you may have to read aloud often and your friends will think you're dyslexic. So that's probably, if I was going to be honest with young me, it would be, shut the fuck up, stop playing Kingdom Hearts 2 over and over, and go do your book reports.
Yeah. Yo, man, I was going to be way less aggressive with younger me.
Oh, no, I would have had, like, I would have had to be intimidated, because it was
grab
little
him
me,
by the
so...
collar and shake him while you're doing
it. Read books, boy! Yes, exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was just gonna be like, I'm just gonna teach, like, younger me, like, hey, stop being shy and fucking learn how to talk to people and don't sound like a robot when you're uncomfortable.
Oh, man, I feel like the robot when you're uncomfortable, yeah, that was the thing to fix. But, like, when you're shy, nah, it's good that that's there, because it led you to be, again, the person that you became. Because, like, I was talking to Kyle, and all of the best people are the ones who didn't know how to emotionally interact with other people when they were
true.
Growing up. Because like, I even bet your girlfriend wasn't a social butterfly when she was a kid, because those are the best people. Are the people who had a really hard time learning how to talk to each other.
How to understand other humans.
Yeah, and then when we got here, we ended up as these weird cartoony fucking idiots, and I love this type of people.
Yeah, I can respect that.
I like that.
Honestly, like, dude, it's you. I still give you, like, mad kudos for this. That showed me how to just stop fucking caring. And, like,
oh, yeah.
I was just like, whatever, I don't even care what people think anymore. They can suck a dick. And then it just went from there. It just turned into this fucking shit show. Especially when we're together, people look at us and they're just like, what the Ooh-wee. Fuck is wrong with these guys?
But it's the best. Like, that's, like, honestly, the best advice I can give to anybody. If you're listening to this podcast, I mean, you guys already know, but nevertheless, go... be 110% yourself. Be weird. Make weird noises. Yell at people you see in public if you think they're funny looking. Like, call fat kids out for being fat. Like, I get it. Like, it sounds assholey. But you know what? The important part is that you're having a good fucking time and you're being honest to yourself. And that's probably the most important thing, is just say what's actually inside of your head and it ends up fun.
Goddamn right. Whoop whoop. So we're going on to the next thing.
What's the next note?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you called me in reference to this earlier today. So we had a small conversation before then, but then you're like, yo. And I was like, what's up? You're like, Evil Within 2, though? I've been playing it. And I was just like, yeah, I have too. And you're like, that shit don't like me. So can you retell the story to the show on what's happened? First time and second time. Let's start with the first one.
I'm going to give you guys a little background. So Evil Within is a video game series made by the guy who made the Resident Evil video game series. So Victor is, like, meant to play these games, and they're good for him. Andy, liked fucking Mila Jovovich. That's what I like about Resident Evil, is Mila Jovovich. The crush on Mila Jovovich. That's it. That's all I got. So it's not the right thing for me. And so it took me, knowing Victor for like 3 years, to play first Evil Within game. And my brain doesn't work for those games. So they're just horror games, but something about the way that you interact with them, my brain doesn't work for. So Victor was like, oh, just put it on easy baby mode and just power through it. It's fine.
Little baby.
And so I did, and I had a great fucking time. And so I don't remember finishing the first game, but I got really far. And then the second game came out on PC, and I pre-ordered it, and I got really annoyed because it didn't come to work until a week after everybody else's copies of the game showed up. So I was really annoyed by that. So stop buying fucking physical PC video games for any PC gamers like me. Don't do that. So Victor and I thought it was a good idea. Let's start a video game Let's Play series. And then we did like a couple.
We did Conan.
Maybe just only one.
Conan
we did
first,
Conan.
Yeah.
No, we did Conan, and then we did
the Portal and
Hitman.
Oh, we did Hitman. Oh, they played.
Yeah, we did
there.
Conan. Yes, exactly. We did Conan, and then we did Hitman, and then I was like, oh, let's do a horror game. Let's do one that Victor likes, and I'll play it, and Victor will walk me through it.
Okay, Evil Within 2.
So Victor and I get 2 or more hours into this Let's Play, and this is back before I knew anything about anything, so I had GoPros set up on Victor's wobbly-ass TV, and I had microphones sitting on top of, like literally, I have a table stand for this microphone, right? I had this sitting on top
Dude,
of
it was
a
like
squeaky-ass
fucking,
ass
it
fucking
was a stool with,
chair.
Like, 5 strategy guides on it.
Yes, it was a stool with a bunch of books on top of it. So the microphone could reach my mouth, and Victor had the one boom microphone because it took us years to get 2. So Victor had the one boom arm microphone, and I think we even went halves on it when we bought it at Best Buy because we're stupid.
Oh,
so,
man.
Oh, man, the good old days. So we recorded this Let's Play, and when we were done,
did I not
I'm
have
looking
a
over
beard
the footage
at that time also? I think my
What's
chin
up?
Was naked around that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, you did not have a beard because I recorded that Let's Play right before I went to New York.
Yep.
So you'd just broken up with your super evil ex.
Again.
You just started dating the tall one. And after you started dating the tall one, you were still like in the middle of depressed because you didn't have a girlfriend. You were just fucking around.
Yeah.
And you hadn't grown your beard back because your super evil ex told you to shave your beard. And I don't know why you did that, but you did. So we were both like, I have to leave. And I think I also came back from from New York, like on your birthday or right around your birthday. So I was like, I might not get to hang out with you for your birthday. So let's go play a fucking horror
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that's
friends.
What it was.
Yep. And I showed up at your house at 8 a.m. to record a video game Let's Play.
Was it in the
and
morning?
Then you were like,
no,
bitch.
The 8 a.m. Yes. one was yes. for Portal.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes.
We did Evil yes. Within late as fuck at night. I remember that because
yes,
it was like 1 in the morning by the time we were done.
Yeah. So Evil Within, all in all, the audio was not captured through our microphones and the video was not captured from the actual gameplay. So there was only 2 hours of uncut raw footage of me and Victor staring at a screen together
talking.
And it was the worst thing ever. And I was like, why did we do this? So then we literally just got all your Resident Evil games together because you had them all on Xbox at the time.
Yeah.
We piled them up and I was way into D&D. So I had my D20 with me.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
rolled a couple dungeon. We rolled a couple fucking D&D dice and it determined which Resident Evil game we played. And then we put out a Let's Play of Resident Evil 7. So
that's
the story for the first one. And I still to this day have that video footage of us just talking in front of a fucking TV for 2 hours. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done with this. I'm not going to play it for 2 years. So it's 2020. I'm trying to get in the fucking horror theme and mindset. So like I've been playing horror games and I was like, you know what? Victor talked about playing Evil Within 2 to celebrate Halloween. So I'm going to go play some Evil Within 2 to celebrate Halloween. I started playing the game. I was streaming it actually this weekend and I had some people watching. Kyle was even watching. And while I'm playing, so I use this video game service called Steam to buy games, right? But Steam has to run in the background when you're playing a game. My computer decided to just close Steam while I was playing Resident Evil. An hour and a half. Evil Within, and I'd gone an hour and a half without saving the game. So it was
dude, I feel so bad because this is all because of me, because I gave you so much shit while we were doing the Let's Play for Resident Evil 3. It turned into a running joke for that whole series. And this just caused you so much pain.
So, God, Evil Within. I feel like I should uninstall it and maybe sell somebody my Steam account, because then it will be gone from my life, because somehow this cursed video game will never let me progress very far in it, and then always chooses to delete itself while I'm playing it.
You lost so much. Dude, I can see the raw hate and just...
Yeah.
And the disappointment in your face.
Dude, I was on Twitch streaming. And then Kyle was like, wait, you're not streaming anymore? I was like, no, I stopped. And she was like, what happened? And I was like, Steam closed. So I was like, oh, I was literally midstream, was like, oh, Steam closed. Click, stream's over, bye. And then I just turned off my computer. I was like, I'm done.
Oh my God.
I did all the stuff.
Dude, that's great. Because, I've been playing, it's been smooth, it's been fine. I have my quarrels with it here and there, but overall, I'm having a good time. This game fucking hates you.
I'm having the hardest time playing this fucking game. It's so goddamn annoying.
Oh my God, dude. It's cursed. I swear, ever since that first day that we tried recording it, that game's been eternally cursed for you now.
I'm never gonna get to finish it. That, The Witcher, and fucking Dragon Age Inquisition are all games that have just fucked me over.
The wires got crossed in the wrong way, so Evil Within 2 is forever cursed for Andy now.
And what's even worse is, I want to play it. I really like it. I want to keep playing it.
Oh, so dumb. Man. So speaking of, because Evil Within has RPG-ass elements, but we're bringing this into real life, you get to pick up one new skill. What is it?
So I need to ask you this first, Victor. Okay. If you got one new skill in your life, what would it be? What would you, new talent or skill or hobby, any one thing, but it has to be something that you do not currently do.
See, going down to it, I wouldn't mind having, really cool, proper combat training. That would be dope.
I like that.
Because then, say, for instance, the world does end, I could just, tactically move around town and shit without getting caught. Because, I always akin back to, my old, airsoft days. Because back then, we'd go off to, Escondido, and there's this huge area where you can go airsofting. And you get to bring your own guns and shit. I'm really surprised no one brought a real gun and just started killing people there.
God. Oh, dude. Well, dude, that's I've been to with actually it was with the same girl that I was talking about earlier in the show. I went with her and her ex-boyfriend at the time to go shooting. And did you know there's an archery range at Balboa Park, the national park in San Diego?
It's crazy.
But did you know that there is no regulation over there?
Oh, really?
You can just walk in and you don't have to wear reflective gear or anything.
Oh my God.
There's just an archery range. So there will be live fire with active... I did find one. It wasn't a practice arrow. It was a fucking bleeder. An actual
Holy
bleeding...
shit.
Sorry, a straight edge arrow. And I was like, what the fuck is going on
here? The guy that
loosed
that arrow is like, God damn it, I missed him. poor kid through the park now.
I found him out there. I was like, what the fuck? There's actual live, these are murder arrows.
That's scary.
They're just out here.
Oh my
God. So yeah, there's a community that does that. So yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, so doing that though, I had this big it was the M249 saw, so it was a airsoft version of a light machine gun, so it's just this big
ass
gun.
Yeah, it's the Rambo gun.
Yeah, so, well, that's an M60 actually.
Oh, okay, whatever.
But I had this thing, and everyone always wanted to be on my team because I had the big gun that shot a lot of bullets fast. Exactly. But I don't know if you ever played Call of Duty enough to get to see the Juggernaut armor at some point, where it's just big dude in armor, walk slow, shoot big gun, make things die.
That's you.
That was me back in airsoft days. So I would be like completely covered in armor. But the thing is, none of it mattered because if you got pegged once, you're out of the game. So I wasn't exactly the most, again, no combat training. Like, I would sneak around when possible. Most of the time, I'm like, big gun, shoot thing. So that's what I would have really preferred to have had.
That doesn't make any sense. So, one tag, you're out. Like, so doesn't it make more sense then to just be like a sniper or somebody with like some kind of regular full auto assault rifle?
My old best friend at the time was like, oh, dude, just get this because this is how you play in Call of Duty and stuff. But he didn't really translate how airsoft worked to me. So I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm gonna get all this cool armor and shit and then just get the big gun. And it ended up being useless.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
But it came in clutch one time when we were playing Capture the Flag. So what happened is there's a team up on a hill, so they already had high ground advantage on us and they were protecting their flag. So they all took spots up on the hill and then our team started running around flanking on either side. So I was just like, fuck it, I have big guns. So I walk up to the base of the hill and just like aim it, and they all kind of like pop over to start shooting at me, and I just like spray this wave of bullets. So I just see them all throw up their hands because they were getting hit. And then our team was just like, oh, we could just walk in there and take it now. And I was just like, so that was probably like the one swan song I had for that.
That's so funny. Because I think about it and I'm like, I have a lot of skills and abilities, but like, I don't know. I wish I'd worked better on like some sort of craft, like making physical things.
I can do
like
that.
I was thinking about it, and you know what would be really cool? Because like, there are those times that I just want to be unemployed for a while,
right?
and I don't really have the option to just be unemployed. So I really wish that I'd learned to be a good enough tattoo artist at some point. Like, I wish I could just tattoo people for a couple extra bucks.
Okay, hold on. I want to point out, I'm pretty sure there is a community of human beings out there that are down to get death laser ducks tattooed on them. You just gotta post that shit and they're like, yo, that shit is down. I will pay you $50 to put this on my skin
and
forever.
And that's all I want. Yeah, exactly. Like 50 bucks for like death lasers and sombrero. Like
cactus.
Or like, you know what would have been really cool? Because I took a lot of art class, and shout out to Mr. Moeller for being the best teacher ever. That was the dude who introduced me to the Deftones and Slipknot and stuff like that.
Dope.
He even went to high school, or not even went to high school. He grew up alongside Chris Fenn, the ex-drummer for Slipknot. So that guy saw a lot of potential in me, and I failed the shit out of his classes. So if I could have, I would have told me to pay attention and do better.
I gotta go back.
And then I would have gone back and I would have just told me, learn some shading. And then I would have these hyper realistic.
No, I don't believe that at all. It would still
cactuses.
Be the fucked up ass drawings you have, but with shading on them.
So that's exactly like, that's my idea. Is I wish I could do my drawings like what I draw right now, but with really good, like, maybe just, it would have been important to learn things like values and mediums and like better lighting and shadowing and stuff. Cause then it would still be the same piece of shit that I draw, but at least it would be more, how should I say this? Critically acclaimed pieces of shit. You know?
Like, they would be a very special select art style.
Yeah. Like, some people would just be like, you know what? This is, cause there's a community of people who are like artists, but they are non-classically trained artists. So they've all taught themselves in their own art style with their own art philosophies. And I don't know what these people are called, but they're a group of people that don't socialize with like the gallery scene and shit. They just kind of sell art by the beach.
Yeah, they put it like, what's a perfect example is what is that pier we went to when we got ice cream that one day? You, Kyle, and I.
Oh, you're talking about the Ocean Beach Pier.
Yeah, yeah. There's always normally like a dude just chilling there, like selling art and shit that he just draw like paints of like the scenery and everything.
Yeah, it'll be some dude who like makes like spray paint ocean vistas.
Exactly.
And you're like, What?
It's like, yeah, that's... man, that's just what I do. Like, I imagine it, and I take a can of spray paint, I huff that shit real quick, you know, yep. Witness me, I'm not mediocre, and then I put witness it on me. Canvas.
Yeah, I think that's what I would have, like, if I were to adopt a skill, it would be, like, spray paint art at the beach, or,
I can
like,
dig that.
Tattoos of my existent
like,
art style.
I remember at some point, you really wanted to get into jewelry making.
So it's not that I wanted to get into jewelry making. I was in jewelry making, Victor. That's yeah. like a secret part of my life that I didn't really express to
but
a lot
like,
of people. But
you
I have
just
jewel crafting skills.
And that's like, I just want you to turn back into that guy where you're just like a weird dude making all these weird rock bracelets for people and shit. And you go set up a booth over at Seaport. You're just like, want to buy a bracelet?
You know what? You actually kind of just encouraged me. I forgot that I have that ability. I totally was like, wait, I don't think I've shown people that in a long time. Because there was this time that,
dude,
for
like a year that I knew you. You were crafting random ass jewelry. I'm just like, what the fuck?
There was, yes, that is true. Because I would be like, come with me to Joanne's. What are we going to Joanne's for? I need supplies for jewelry crafting. So, yes, I like working with, like, God, now it's going to get weird. I like working with chains, leather, metal, like metal fixtures, and like natural stones. Those are like the things that the materials I like working with.
I can dig it, dude. You can be like the dudes that I bought Viking jewelry from when we went to a December night to Balboa.
Yeah,
but instead
exactly.
It'll be your crazy ass.
Yeah, that's you legit made me forget that I have that skill. It's mostly because my grandma got way into beading, and I was like, what's more metal than beading? And I was like, leather
so, and metal. Yeah.
So that was something I did learn how to do. What's the next note?
God, man. I'm just going to be surprised, like, the next day, all of a sudden, you're just like, yo, I made this dope-ass necklace. I'm like, I see.
Dude, I made a sick three-piece necklace and bracelet set. It's fucking dope,
it's
bro.
It's got obsidian in it, bro. You know, just, like, black like my soul.
What the fuck is going on?
You okay, dude?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to you in forever. We haven't recorded the show in 3 weeks.
That's like, you just reminded me. So there was this show that I played. It's the one show I played at a gay bar when I didn't know I was at a gay bar. And it's called The Marrow, and it's in the gay portion of San Diego called Hillcrest. And so my band booked the show, and I just kind of showed up. I didn't know what was happening here that night. And like my band and my guitarist at the time had this really, really attractive like MILF, Mexican MILF, for a girlfriend, and she brought her MILF sisters, and one of them was like on their way out for a divorce. So I was like, you know what?
What's
I'm
up?
Gonna be cool. And I'm gonna play this show shirtless and do metal and play pool. So I did, and at the end of the show, I found her hovering around this table, like chatting up this jewelry dude, this jewelry maker dude inside the bar.
This is and what I'm this, telling you.
This dude makes jewelry out of, he calls it reclaimed metal, but it's just trash, like soda cans and forks that he finds and shit like that. And she's just mad, like just talking to him like, wow, that's so interesting. I really love your like craftsmanship.
And you're all
stuff.
Over here,
and
no
like,
shirt and sweaty
I'm,
and
like,
shit.
Sweating and stuff. And I'm just like, I gave my like, I tried so hard. And she was like, but like,
he
your
makes
line work
fucking
in these metals
jewelry
are so good.
Out of fucking Sprite cans. Like, oh my God, I
yeah,
wish he'd
he
cut
had,
my
like,
pussy
these,
open
he had
like
these,
that.
Like, fucked up, he had these like fucked up metal spork rings and stuff. And I was like, dude, I really should have learned that skill. So you might be right. I should have probably gone in the jewelry crafting skills set. I totally forgot that that's a thing I can do, and I probably should have kept it up.
Oh, man, that's great. All right, so the next thing is crisis of sometimes I hate you, faith and a little of self-loathing.
Ah, yes. So to bring down sometimes I hate you on a bit of a somber note, I have been depressed lately. Over the last like 2 or 3 days, I was watching a YouTube video by this dude named Finn McKinty, and he's actually like this punk/hardcore YouTuber who reviews, like, not reviews, but he like deep dives into like hardcore culture and metal and stuff like that. And he does a thing that I would have really liked to do, but I never was like as deeply invested in the business of heavy metal to like participate in making something like serious and like artful. And so he has this podcast that I was listening to, and he interviews like some of his favorite musicians. And it's not even like bad interviews. Like, he talks to them about their business and success and like how they're like functioning as like, you know, like members of society and shit like that. And I'm like, man, I host a comedy variety podcast that like 17 people listen to. Maybe. I think a fair amount of them are Russian.
Yeah, so. I know. They probably either A, don't understand what we're saying, but they just like the way our voices sound, so they laugh at it. Or they do understand what they're saying. They're like, these men are funny. I drink vodka to this.
So I got to thinking, and it was late one night. So like, I told Kyle about it the next day. And I was just like, you know what? I hate all of my art forms and all of the work that I've ever done for Sometimes I Hate You. And I wish I could do it again or do it better or like focus on it like it was a part-time job. And she was like, oh,
that's we're going here.
That's a lot that you're feeling. So like, yeah, I had a crisis in faith because Sometimes I Hate You started as, and it still is, it's like a passion project made by us, like a couple of friends. And it was born because people laughed at the things that we would say in public, but things are so different. Like, I see you only honestly like once a week for Sometimes I Hate You, and then I call you on the phone every once in a while.
Yeah,
but like, this is friendship hour now, and that's not a bad thing. It's just like the hopes and dreams to be of the upper echelons of podcasts, like the podcasts we listen to, have long since dwindled. And I'm just like, man, I think I'm having, there was this time that I talked to you in person, and we talked about if you make it to 25 and you don't like practice your skills and like focus on a goal, you're probably just going to work a dead end job for the rest of your life. And you and I talked about that, and now I'm feeling like that. And so I guess I need you to tell me we've done good here.
So this is where I got to bring it back akin to, we never intended on it becoming this amazing thing. We always just wanted it to be this passion project to share the stupid jokes. And like, the reason why you get like this is because your dumb little clouded brain, the way it functions inside of there, you have 5 gerbils trying to run in every which direction on 1 gerbil wheel, and they all want a piece. And they're just like, yo, I'm trying to go to the middle. And the other one's like, nah, bitch, I gotta go upside down. And the other one's like, I'm just trying to go over here. But they all try to go in their own directions. This show has been probably one of the best things that I can say I've ever even partaken in, because it's expressing us. Like, we've been able to put ourselves out there and like really just kind of like, and we've also just grown our friendship over it. Like, that's what it is. It's turned into this crazy thing. Like, yeah, it's friendship hour, but on top of that, it's just a cool way for us to experience things together as friends and get more stories out there. And like, the people who do listen, like, we interact with them on our normal lives too, and like, they know more about us because of that, so they get more comfortable with us and open up even more because of that, because they're like, oh, this guy's stupid just like I am. I normally wouldn't express this side of me, but it's fine because I've heard them talk about terrible things on the show. You brought this to my attention, it was a while ago when you first had this existential crisis about the show, not long ago. It was a while ago, but not long ago. You're like, yo. And I'm like, what's up? And you're like, you know, like, I've been thinking about the show. And I was just like, yeah. And you're just like, you know how there's like those punk bands that are like really good, but they talk about a lot of shit, so no one really wants to share them. And like, they're good, right? But people hide that they listen to them. That's us. That's literally what you said. You're like, we're that punk band that everyone likes, but no one wants to share that they listen. And it was like, yeah, because we don't censor what we do. I mean, not to bash on them, but like, you and I have talked about it recently, like the Comedy Button. Like, dude, we jumped in back then when it was like this crazy fucking ride of a show. Like, I've been listening to the older episodes more recently again, and like, dude, I still find myself laughing my fucking ass off to those episodes.
I absolutely do too.
And Like, their newer stuff, like, I still listen to them because I'm a fan, but it just doesn't have that same impact. And if there's one thing I love about this show, like, yeah, we threw aside most of the voices and whatnot and, like, some of the dumb shenanigans, but I don't feel like we ever lost that edge, if that makes sense. Like, we've kept that consistency of just being open and stupid about shit and just fucking putting it out there with no filter. And then it's like, ah, fuck it, we did it, whatever. And I've been so happy that we've been able to do that and not just, like, kind of turn into these dry, old, grumpy men. We've had our grumpy right. men, like, episodes, so.
I think you are, like, absolutely right. Like, I hate to be that guy, but it's like, we never sold out into, like, joining the machine.
Exactly.
Is, I guess, the best way to describe it. Like, the way that people produce podcasts and the way that people produce audio, we never did it that way.
No.
Like, Sometimes I Hate You even still works like Wild West. Like, how I
shit
make,
fell
make
sometimes
it work.
Takes two yeah. hours to record things. Like, it's just the way it is, but I don't mind it. Like, dude, you and I were trying to play video games the other day. We
oh,
spent
man.
2 hours trying
so
to
mad.
Play video games, and we were just like, fuck it, we'll call it quits. And you're like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's fine, bro. We tried, and that's what matters. That's what this show is to me. We tried, and that's what matters. Because at the end of the day, we've all learned things from it. It's still a really fun way to just catch up with each other and interact. And god damn it, I fucking love the bullshit we put out there. Even if I don't listen to it half the time, it's still fun.
I think that is good. It still remains, like, I am our biggest fan. Like, if people, like, there are people who can't listen to their own music or people who can't, like, watch the movies that they're in. I, without a fail, am the first person to listen to every episode of Sometimes I Hate You, because I actually do deeply believe in what we make, and I really care about what we make. So that is, because, like, Kyle has seen it. I will stay up till I am fucking bone dry, dead inside, to make sure Sometimes I Hate You makes it to its Wednesday release, because it's just this important thing
and
to
see,
me.
And see, like, that's the thing is, like, honestly, I still feel like we've kept the mission statement, you know? Just friends getting together and being stupid. Like, that's what the purpose of it was. And it's not for everyone. It never will be for everyone. But fuck it.
No. Yeah. I think you got a point. You cheered me up again. I appreciate it.
I got you, bro.
I think we have one last note, and I need your help. I think, yeah, it's one more, right?
There's two more, actually.
Oh,
they
shit.
Can actually
right, well,
kind of work hand in hand, to be honest. So, I mean, we can probably work
okay.
them together.
I think they actually were one note, but
okay,
I just
so you split
separated
them.
Them in thoughts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, secret crushes, specifically a jogging memory for you, is Maria punched Andy.
Yeah, I was talking to Kyle about that one.
All right.
And then what's the second portion?
And then, how did you ask girls out or work up the courage for the first one growing up?
Okay, yeah.
So
I
that's
think
what
this
like,
is,
they go
I think,
together.
Yes, I think this is right. Okay, so I'm just going to tell a story here. Kyle and I were talking about how I had a crush on this girl named Maria Zamudio. And I don't, I like, if I were to meet her now, I wouldn't have a thing for her anymore.
Yeah.
But that's because she has had a nose job, but she taught me how to play One by Metallica on guitar.
Okay.
So, like, so that goes, like, a pretty good distance. And, like, just to give you a little bit of a backstory, Maria was, like, to be honest, probably, like, the most hippie weirdo that I've ever known, while also being a goth weirdo at the same time. So, like, it was a weird combination. So, like,
so you as a human being.
Yeah, like there's certain, it's kind of like, you know those nerdy dudes who are like, I want my, like, there's this phrase that floats around in the movie community called Manic Pixie Dream Girl, and that references, like, a girl who is weird and odd and strange and, like, doing all sorts of crazy shit, and usually it's, like, a straight-laced button-up guy who gets with these girls.
Oh,
and,
like, the chicks you see in a lot of indie movies, basically.
Yes, yeah. In pretty much every indie movie, honestly. So that's what a manic pixie dream girl is, and it's a very, like, stupid and archaic stereotype, because no human really functions
no,
like that.
Not
there
at
are
all.
Girls like that. Like, I dated one, and they're crazy and terrible people.
Yeah, I imagine so.
And you're about about as crazy and terrible for like specifically like wanting voluntarily that. Going yeah. and looking for them. Yes. It's kind of like Kyle pointed out, there's people who want goth girlfriends now because goth girls are edgy and
dude,
that equals like kinky sex and
no
shit.
No idea
so.
Why that's fucking just
it doesn't,
blew
it doesn't
up.
Make any sense. Most of the goth girls I know are like chubby chicks who have like body issues and like reading a lot. So I don't know like what that's honestly like the most of the goths girls that I've actually known in my life are that way. But back to Maria. I had a thing for her and I really liked her a lot in middle school. And there was this kid that I'd grown to be sort of like friends with, and he, to gain cool points, decided that it was good to start talking, like telling rumors about me. And because Maria was the weird girl, it wouldn't be hard to assume that someone would call Maria the weird girl, yeah. right? But I actually had a thing for her, and I didn't think she was weird. I thought she was cool. And so someone, I guess that kid directly, told her that I thought she was weird and that I was talking shit about her. So she walked straight to me in the middle of math class and just fucking said, "I heard you've been talking shit," and decked me in the mouth.
Holy
like,
shit.
Just, and put like all of her weight into it. And I was bigger than her, and she was like, you know, a middle school girl, so that's like maybe 100 pounds at maximum. Like that's not much yeah. weight being put into you. So it was as hard as she could hit me. So it made me go, ah.
But and from that moment, you've never been as hot in your entire life.
No, from that moment, like I both felt so offended and bewildered and disappointed because I was like,
you felt betrayed.
I was like, I didn't even ruin my chances with dating the girl that I liked.
Like someone
else. Some other person did.
They just literally like unintentionally cock blocked you.
Yeah, exactly. And what's worse is like, she and I had been getting along really well at that time. And then all of a sudden, just that happened. And we didn't talk to each other until high school. Like, I was like, that was, yeah, from 8th grade until like 10th grade, we didn't
Dude,
talk to each other.
But
and
what's
I was like,
worse
what
is I
fuck?
Feel like it only took some quick reconciliation time that no one bothered to take.
Dude, if I'd been an emotionally cognizant person, I could have either kept her as a friend or dated the girl that I liked at the time. So I'm like, wow, I had no like emotional or social skills when I was a kid. And so it doesn't necessarily disappoint me, but I'm like, God damn, like, why is it that when we're kids or even as adults, we are essentially trained to keep the people we are romantically or physically attracted to, like, guessing about whether or not we're romantically
yeah,
or physically
so
attracted
dumb.
To them? What is the point in that?
Like, you gotta leave puzzle pieces behind, but they're not even all for the same puzzle. You're over here, it's just like, this one's for a 3D puzzle, the Eiffel Tower. This one's a Legend of Zelda puzzle piece. Oh,
and
I like this
reason,
one. This one's the Golden Gate Bridge.
I also found, like, a video game cheat code to, a specific level with a puzzle. I don't even know what that's...
Also,
I don't even have a console.
Here's a chicken wing. Yes.
So... Like, it's not me reminiscing on the relationship that could have been, but isn't. Instead, it's me saying, wow, I didn't know how to tell girls that. Because, like, if I just told her I had a thing for her, I think things would have gotten better. We did become friends, like I said, in high school.
Yeah.
And now, like I said, we couldn't be any less similar or interested in one another. But at the time, I just don't know how I would have gone about it. And what's even worse is, like, so going to the next note, which is like about how we like tried to date when we were kids.
Yeah, yeah.
When I came back to California and I went to middle school, there was this thing in school. All of like the popular guys did it. Like, this is why I say I'm one of those, like, I was also like you and Kyle, one of those socially inept weirdos who didn't know how to talk or do what the other people did.
Yep.
Because all of a sudden when puberty hit, everybody just thought it was cool to slap or grab girls' asses.
Yeah, I don't know why that was okay. That
but do you
no
remember
sense.
That?
Yeah, so many people did it, and I'm just like, no, that's not okay.
Yeah, I even remember, like, I didn't try to work up the courage. I tried to work up the courage of the thought in my head. Like,
to even
I tried
consider
to,
it, yeah.
Yes, I tried to consider the consideration of it, and I was like, why would I ever just go touch a stranger's ass? And I remember, like, just being so absolutely confused. And when I finally met a girl that I was interested in, I usually just befriended them, like, and not in the creepy, I want to be a friend, gain enough friend points and become boyfriend and digivolve. I was just like, I just wish I had become friends with them, you know, or whatever. Kyle says that when she was a teenager, boys would walk around and pop the girls' bras. So I guess
that happened a lot too.
The ass grabbing.
So I've witnessed both of these things happening. That would happen a lot. I'm just like, why? Like, where do you think this is okay? And like, for some reason, it just was a game back then. I'm like, what? You do this as an adult, you're getting thrown in jail, bro.
Well, dude, there's also that other game. There was a game that people played when I was in middle school called like Pressure. And all it would be was somebody sliding their hand to your genitals, along your leg to your genitals, until someone got nervous and said the word pressure. But most guys would be like, just touch my dick, it's fine.
They wouldn't care. They'd be like, do it, it's fine.
Exactly.
Make sure you go the leg and I tuck it on.
Yeah, and then most of the girls would be like, why are you going to touch my puss? I don't want that right now. What are you talking about?
Annie, why are you coming over here trying to fucking touch me?
What are you talking about?
Also, I don't know why I sound like an Italian fucking waddle.
An old Italian from Star Wars. But yeah, that was something like I never got into. So my thing when I had a crush on a girl was, because I know that girls like my eyes, to just stare at them.
Oh, that's creepy.
For a long period of time. I would just stare at the girls that I liked, unblinking. Like, you've seen me do it before, because I haven't fully leaned away from using it as a tactic, but I've learned that it's healthy to
control
blink
it a little bit.
But you've seen me do it, because when I used to work with you, we would have to type and look back and forth between typing and you know, talking to a person. I would just make pure eye contact and type and talk, and they'd be like,
this is weird. I've seen so many times when people are saying, oh my god, I sir, it's like sandstorm in here, it's so dry.
So,
but you're just like, yeah, how's it going?
God.
It's fine, dude. God, I love
Kyle
you.
Says, Kyle says, if anyone is the spokesperson for women, it should be you and I, Kyle says. That's what we should be. Hey, what are you doing? Don't touch my legs, okay?
Get away from my fucking legs.
This is my space.
I've been over here sweating in my coos all day and stuff. Don't fucking touch me there.
But like, yeah, so I guess, I don't know, when did you first successfully get a girlfriend, and how did it go? Because, like, you were a nervous weirdo too, right?
Dude, mine was so random. So, like, my first real one was my super evil ex back, like, in high school.
You told me you lost... Wait, should... Nah, it's fucking... You told me you lost your virginity before you dated your super evil ex?
Yeah.
But your super evil ex is your first girlfriend?
Yeah.
That is some fat boy skills right there, bro. That is some fat boy skills, because, like, I couldn't do that. I had to date a girl for 2.5 years before I got to touch boobs, all right? So that is some fat boy skills, Victor. And then on top of that, I think the girl that you had sex with was older than you, too?
Yeah.
What the fuck? That, again, that is some fat boy skills, dude.
He's like, motherfucker.
Yeah, I could not do that.
I was a little fat boy back then. You know, I just made that shit work. But I have a story from like when I first attempted. This was in middle school, and I had this crush on this chick named Ashley. I can't remember her last name, but she was like a weird kind of alternative girl, but without the whole puffy emo look and everything. Like, she was actually like just alternative.
Well, the puffy emo look didn't come around until we got to like late middle school, high school. Like,
no, it was early middle school for me, dude.
I don't get it, because you're older than me, so that's whatever. All right.
But so she was like a really big fan of like Linkin Park, and I also dug them around the time. And I don't remember what it is I had, but I had like something like kind of weird and hard to get from Linkin Park. So I did this dumb thing where I was just like, oh man, I'm gonna give her this thing, but I'm too shy to really approach her and tell her like, hey, here's this thing that I know you'll like, and maybe we should hang out. So instead, I waited until like no one was really paying attention, and I went to her bag and put the thing inside of her bag and zipped it back up. Yeah, and then she was just like,
"Were you guys at least friends?"
So we were friends.
Okay.
And but I was like, it was still like shy talk for me because like I was like, "Oh God, I like her," like type of situation, and she went back to her bag that day and she was like, oh, someone left this thing in my bag. I wonder who it was. And we sat at the same table, but like, I was just kind of chilling there, like not saying anything. And the other one, like she had another friend of hers next to her and she's like, oh, that person must really like you or something. And she's like, oh, that's cool. I'm happy they gave it to me. Dude, it took like a month before I even brought it to her attention. I was like, hey, remember that one thing that you found in your bag? She's like, yeah. I was like, I gave that to you. She's like, oh, cool, thanks. And then I kind of just like, it was it was kind of just done there. And I was like, man, I am terrible at this shit. Yep. So that was with my super evil ex, we met through online dating, actually.
What, dude, what the fuck? Because like Kyle did that too as a teen. How the fuck you guys do that as teenagers?
Yo, your bathroom door just closed again on its own. Your house is haunted, bro. What the fuck?
My room and Kyle's room are attached by a bathroom. That's how.
Oh my God, this is the second time I've seen that shit happen. And it just goes clunk. Fuck you.
Why do I get a fuck you for that? I didn't do
you're
it.
You're over here like, I don't believe a ghost. Your goddamn bathroom door is haunted. I seen that shit twice. Fuck you with that shit. All I need is for that shit to open up again. And it's just like, all right, I'm good taking a ghost shit. And I'm like, what the fuck? Oh my God.
Oh man.
I just saw it going. I was like, well, yo, it closed. What the fucking shit? Oh my God. Okay.
Kyle says, Victor, I'm sorry. Because she had to go pee, and that's the bathroom door that we share.
Okay. Sure.
She just chooses to be a bathroom ghost. I just heard her laugh hard enough. She gagged.
So. I met her on a dating site. Well, not even a dating site. It was like a weird social network. And then we started talking, I guess, more personally to each other. Then it turned into phone calls. And then we actually met up and watched Twilight of all things together.
Dude, how did you guys meet each other online?
It was, dude, I can't even remember what the name of the website was anymore. It was just like some weird, like off-brand ass MySpace. And I don't know how I stumbled across it. But I did.
And you guys happen to go to the same school together?
No. So she lived in Santee. I lived where I'm still at. So
for those of you guys, that's like a 30-mile
difference. Yeah, it's a fucking mission. So I remember the first time I actually took the trolley all the way up to like the El Cajon Mall.
That's all goddamn day from where you live.
So it was like a fucking hour trip to get there. And that's like, mind you, this is the first time I've ever actually taken the trolley. Like, normally I get driven places and stuff, but I was like, whatever. So then her mom met me at the trolley stop and picked me up with her. And then she dropped us off at the movie theater in El Cajon Mall. And then we went to go see Twilight. Again, of all movies to go watch on the first date.
And dude, Twilight has such like a high school like ranking with me. So like you dated your super evil ex in high school also?
Yeah, it was like 10th grade.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then like we just kind of got together and then broke up off and on from there. So that's pretty much what it turned into.
Wow. At least I don't know. That was the absolute gameless like dating process.
Dude,
but
like honestly, it was that we're getting to know each other thing, and then it just turned more personal. Like, honestly, I have discovered this thing about me. I am terrible at trying to approach anyone romantically first. I just don't know how to do that shit. It just doesn't exist. You know.
It took a long time, but I have learned.
And I'm like, you've seen it, and you've told me, you're like, God, you're terrible at this. So
you are the fucking worst.
It's still the same thing, but I don't know. I can't, like, when I talk to someone, it's like, I can't not be in a relationship. That's how I work. I'm stupid.
I think that's interesting. Well, no, you're not stupid. That's actually, that's how a lot of, like, I guess girls work that way. From what I've experienced, there's not a lot of girls who just kind of, like, hang out with a guy one-to-one and don't date, you know? And Kyle says, it's okay, Victor. She never figured it out either.
All right.
I think, honestly, like, of all three of us, I'm the one who did, like, the most, like, like proper dating, like what people would call dating. Like, I spent time, I hung out with people, and sometimes it was like one and done hangouts, and sometimes it would be a couple weeks and then that was the end of the relationship. Yeah. So like it went in a few different directions, but like I started off pretty similarly. So I actually I did ask girls out all through middle school, because that was only 2 years. So in seventh and eighth grade, I asked girls out throughout the process. So I remember there was a girl in seventh grade named Jacqueline that I had a thing for, and I'd created, because I was the dumb kid that was like, I have nemesis. So I created essentially, like, in my brain, this kid who's now like a Marine, and I have a lot of respect for him as a person. Like, he's a good guy.
Like, he earned his like place, basically.
Like as a grown man, he's a good guy. Like, yeah. I have respect for him. But when we were kids, I hated him. Because he and I were similar, like similar structure, similar appearance. I think we're both half black and stuff. Like,
people would mistake us for each other. So it was like one of those issues.
So I was like, he's the like me, so I have to combat him. So, like I was thinking about it. Actually today, I don't know how long I've been like a sour motherfucker, but I've been a sour motherfucker for a long time. Like, at least since middle school, maybe earlier. But I don't remember it in childhood. But
okay.
In middle school, there was this girl named Jacqueline, and I just cold approached her. Never talked to her. Just looked at her and thought she was cute. Never fucking said shit to her. And then I thought, oh, it's lunchtime. Let me go talk to the girl that I think is pretty. Hi, Jacqueline. Hi. Do you want to go out with me? I'm dating Robert.
Oh.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I'm gonna go stab myself now.
Yeah. No, and that was essentially it. I don't even remember what I did after that, but I stopped having a thing for her, and then I actually like became very close friends with a girl named Elide. Elide. Elide is what people with no accent would call her. But Elide and I got along really well, and I wanted to ask her out. And right before school ended, I was like, do you want to go out with me? And she was like, I would, but I'm transferring schools next year.
Oh, sad face.
And so I never saw her again. Dude. And so I was like, ah, damn.
You know what? Like, I have kind of a parallel like that. This one chick named Miriam actually liked me around the time I liked Ashley in middle school. And like, everyone kept telling me, like, dude, she likes you. And she's like, she'd talk to me all the time and like give me stuff and everything. And I was just like, no, my eyes are only for Ashley. I will not break my gaze upon anyone else but her. She has my heart. And then, like, I think it was probably like beginning of seventh grade. Like, she was just like, hey, I'm moving schools. I just thought I'd let you know, like, I've always liked you, but yeah. And I was just like, oh, I am stupid.
And it was just that. Dude, it wasn't until adulthood that I actually met girls that I liked. So, like, actually, one of the girls that had a thing for me in middle school ended up being my girlfriend after my Super Evil ex when I was like 22.
Okay.
And we never were like, we were friends in middle school, but we never said shit to each other, like, romantically, or had a thing for each other at all. And then all of a sudden, we were, like, super compatible, like, right out, like, after I dated my Super Evil ex. And,
people change, man.
it's crazy, like, how much things change. But, like, so, I guess, after Elide, there was Maria, and that was the girl who punched me in middle school. So I think I didn't realize it, but there was only like four crushes in middle school, and the last one was this girl named Maria, who I also named Maria. There was Maria Zamudio and Maria Hernandez, which is the one that I dated. And Maria Hernandez ended up, like, she was how do I describe this? You ever see those, like, beefier tomboy girls?
Yeah.
The ones that get in trouble all the time?
Yeah.
She was one of those. And weirdly enough, like, I found out that, like, she and I were actually really like emotionally and like compatible for the things that we had interest in, and we like the same animes and stuff like that. And she and I were like, I don't know how to explain this. She was always like, she was this like, man,
peanut butter and jelly.
It's weird to say this as an adult because I'm talking about, you know, 13 year old me, but like she was a thick like girl.
Yeah.
And she also played sports and stuff, and all the other girls were like underdeveloped, and she was like, she had boobs and curves, and that wasn't like a driving factor for me. But all of a sudden I was like, this girl, this one, this tomboy girl is the one that I really have a thing for, and we get along really well. So I asked her out, and yeah, sure. Okay, cool.
Oh, what? And so, what? Yes?
Yeah, so I was like, wait, what? And she was like, yeah, I have a thing for you too. We're good. And so we like hung out throughout the summer and fucking like even the beginning of high school and everything. It was weird. It was just really weird that I like successfully had a girlfriend after not trying. And the key was looking for someone who had similar interests and was easy to talk to. And it's weird that it was the girl, like literally, like, I don't know if you had people in school that like were the ones who were well known for getting in trouble, but she was that girl. Okay. Like she would be the
always
one who like,
getting, like
got caught smoking cigarettes
shit,
or something. Like that was her. And I was like, I didn't expect me to be that, but like a good parallel for like modern day is if you've seen the It 2017 movie, I was the fat kid and she was the tomboy that hung out with the other boys.
Okay.
Beverly. Like I was the fat kid who liked Beverly, but as it turns out, Beverly also liked the fat kid. So that meshed well.
Get on,
but,
you, bro.
Yeah, that's what I would say is I was really bad at talking to girls, and all of a sudden, like I said, it just clicked and I understood to pursue people who have similar interests and you have a good time talking to, but it took me a lot longer to learn. You should only date people that you would definitely probably be friends with, like best friends with. Don't just date people because they're attractive or they like the same shit as you.
Because that's not how that works. It leads to terrible things.
It leads to the dark side.
Oh, the dark side. So, I don't know. Was that it? You ready to go?
Yeah, I think we're done here, motherfuckers. The wall's been crushed. Everything's fallen all over the place. Don't worry about the cleanup. We got a party coming in next that'll do that. We'll probably just add more dirt. Then the janitor will be here. Remember to tip your janitors. He's only a dollar a piece. You could find us on places. Andy, where can you find us?
So you can find us at via Linktree. So linktr.ee/sometimes I hate you. And that links you to everything, like every platform that we're on. We've actually, interestingly enough, Sometimes I Hate You is not like a big social media project. We all have our individual accounts, and social media is, Sometimes I Hate You is more of like a, you can find us on YouTube.
We're
and
more
where
of a concert. So like, we're always in your ears, but never in your face.
Yeah, it's like that. We're an entity. We're not so much an individual being. We are an entity. We are
legion.
My man. Yeah, this guy, he saw Hellraiser with me. No, that was Doom Rider. What is that guy called, the dude with the motorcycle and the skull whose bad guy is
Ghost
Legion
Rider?
What is his name? Ghost Rider. Yeah,
I love Ghost
Hellraiser
Rider.
Doom Rider.
That's the same thing.
And then what is the other thing that I had to say? Oh yeah,
Patreon.
Email us at Sometimes I Hate
email
You.
Email us. Go.
Yes, sorry. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/sometimes I hate you, where you can support us for $1, $5, $15, or $150. The $150 tier is kind of a joke, but if you want to do it, you can do it.
Someone please, I'm trying to fucking choke on that gummy anaconda.
$150 gets a 26-pound gummy python.
Sorry,
and Victor gets to
python.
Eat the whole thing in one sitting. Yeah, it's the species is the important part. You guys have called it anaconda and boa constrictor, but no, it is a python.
Excuse me.
And last but not least, you can email us at sometimesihateyoupodcast@gmail.com if you guys have any emails, if you have any notes or recommendations for things that you want to hear us talk about. We usually host the show with Kyle, but she wasn't feeling so well, even though she did drop into our chat to talk to us. And the last thing, is you can catch us live at Twitch. At twitch.tv/sometimesihateyou around 8 p.m. every Sunday. And that's it.
We always here on the internet. You can find us inside your phones. We'll be in your ear holes. Before you know it, we'll be sleeping next to you inside your ears, putting you to sleep.
Oh, man.
Real good time. Welcome to the dreaming hours, motherfuckers. We out this shit.
Oh, I like that. Welcome to the dreaming hours. All right. Bye, guys. Hi, I'm Andy.
And I'm Victor.
Welcome to Sometimes I Hate You.
Josh Monster.
I can't read.
You get two lines in and this is what you do?
Okay, one more time. We'll just start from here. Okay, ready? Hi, I'm Andy.
And I'm Victor.
Welcome to Sometimes I Hate You, your weekly comedy variety show where two idiots pour random brain goo of hilarity out on your face.
Why have you not been telling people about the Goose Village that is a fine podcast? We have expectations.
Requirements.
Demands.
We demand you follow the rules and nobody gets hurt, okay?
Rule number one, you talk about the podcast.
Rule number two, you talk about the podcast.
Rule number three, if you like this shit, share it.
Share it on social medias. Help text your loved ones.
We like you with your kneecaps.
Please share the show and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform.
One, two, three.
Remember, keep your boots shined and your gun pointed forward. Good!
Good.